Hello, everybody. This is Kenny Evans and David Berry, and welcome to It's What You Keep. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you learn how to keep more of the money you earn so you can turn your income into lasting wealth. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Ken. Good morning.
Hey, everybody. This is Kenny and Dave with It's What You Keep, the new episode, and we're continuing our series on credit and debt. And last time we talked about credit scores and credit rating. We got into it a little bit about how these credit agencies rank you and how your creditors will use that ranking to make credit decisions about whether to extend your credit or whether to charge you extra money to extend your credit and the like. So in dealing with that, we explained a few of the ways how people get into trouble with that or how your credit score can be affected negatively. We wanted to cover what you could do to address that up front. So today's episode, we're going to go over 10 different things you should look at doing around your credit rating in order to start improving it. Does that sound like a plan, Dave?
Yeah, no, that sounds really good. I mean, and these things are the things that we believe are the top 10 things. You know, there are lots of things you could do. But these are, when we did our research, we came up with these top 10 things. And if you're in a bad situation right now, these are the things you can do.
Right. Exactly. So let's go ahead. Let's jump right into it. So in order to start looking at where you are from a credit standpoint, the first thing, just like what we talk about when we talk about budgeting and talking about getting your financial life in order, you need to know where you are today. It's one thing to be denied credit by a potential creditor, but even if you're not in any credit trouble or don't think you are in any credit score trouble, this is a good practice to have, and that is to get a copy of your credit report from all three major bureaus. And as we mentioned in our last episode, the major credit reporting agencies are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. So there is a website that you can go to called annualcreditreport.com. And the reason it's called annualcreditreport.com is that by law, all of the credit agencies have to give you a copy of your credit report once a year for free. And I'll bring up why that's important later. But they are required to give you one copy of your credit report for free at your asking, at your request. The website annualcreditreport.com gives you a one-stop shop to ask for your report from one, two, or all three of the agencies, depending on what your needs are. So in terms of what I do, I actually go there three times a year and ask for one report from each agency so that I can have a report from all agencies over the course of the year. And that's free. And I know, Dave, we talked about you actually have an account with one of the agencies and
That's right. Yeah, I have an account with Experian where they actually monitor my credit score or credit account daily. And if something happens, I get a notification. The score goes up, goes down. There's an inquiry or something pops up that's new that hasn't been there before. They will send me. It's just so I can check the accuracy of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the benefits of paying for a service is that you have a lot more flexibility. In the method that I described, you are limited to one per year from each agency if you want to get it for free. If you pay an agency, and that's actually the second method by which we recommend getting your report, is you deal directly with the agencies. So you can have an account set up with Equifax, with Experian, with TransUnion, and they do a little bit, you have a little bit more access, a little bit more frequent access to your data. And to David's point, they offer credit monitoring so that if something happens negatively on your report, they will proactively reach out to you, which is also a great benefit of having a paid account. And then the third method by which we recommend you get your report is actually working with credit monitoring companies. So there are companies outside of the agencies that's their whole job is to monitor your credit performance. Companies like Aura, LifeLock, OmniWatch, and we'll include links to this on our website. Again, our website is www.keepitpodcast, that's K-E-E-P-I-T, podcast, all one word, .com, to some of these other third-party agencies. And they make their money on making sure that you are proactively informed of anything negative happening to your credit report. So once you have your report, it's important that you check for errors. Understand that these credit agencies are handling millions of accounts, millions. And it's not unheard of that they make mistakes. Somehow this data is being input. Maybe it's automated, but I have gone in, I've seen my credit reports and they've misspelled my name. They have used versions of names that I would never use only because they're pulling data from so many different places. So they can have wrong account info. They can have duplicate entries, which could hurt you depending on what your credit situation is. Accounts that don't belong to you, whether on purpose or on accident, you should really get these. That should be your number one thing. Get your credit report and then check for errors. And then obviously, if you see stuff that is wrong, you should dispute those. And you can reach out directly to the agencies via, they usually have websites you can visit and input a dispute. And one of the neat things about the dispute process is, and I say neat only because it tends to favor the consumer, is that once you put in a dispute, they have to temporarily remove this negative information from your credit report until it is verified. So it is, the onus becomes on them to reach out to the creditor, whoever is listed on your credit report as having negative information. The onus is on them to reach out to that credit agent, that credit provider, and say, prove that this is right or wrong. If the credit provider does not get back to them, then that stuff gets removed permanently. So just covering just some very high level stuff in terms of get your report, check for errors, and make sure you dispute any inaccuracies. So what else can we do, Dave, in terms of trying to improve?
No, those are really good, Ken. So a couple of other things that you can do. Paying bills on time. So part of the items that go into making up your credit score, there are lots of different factors. But one of the biggest factor that they take into account, the agencies, is how you are paying your bills and are they paying being paid on time. And that accounts for 35% of your credit score. Do you pay your bills on time? Or are you making payments regularly? So if you begin to start making those payments on time, your credit score will begin to increase. This shows that you are credit worthy or willing to and able to pay back those loans that you've made and or taken out. And so it just builds a positive credit history.
Understood. So I guess this goes back to what we talked about in the last episode. You've probably, if your credit score is low, one of the things impacting it could be that you've made payments late. And you're saying we should now get back on track if that's the case.
That's right. If you've got, payments and most of them, if they're late more than 30 days, that's when they can hit your credit report. So 5 days, 10 days, usually not. But if it's over 30 days, it will hit your credit report. And it stays there for 7 years. Whoa. And so if you begin to make these payments, now it's easy to say, well, just make them on time. Well, that's easier said than done. So there are things that you can do to begin a funnel or make those a priority. If you pay bills over discretionary spending, well, then the priority is building your credit score, paying the bills instead of discretionary spending. And that takes discipline. As we talked through these things, and none of these things are quick fixes. They all take time and discipline to do. And so, but these are the things that we have to do to improve our credit score. So,
understood.
And Now, there are things, and I didn't realize this until I did the research. You can actually have things put on your credit reporting. So the things that you pay on time, like your rent, your utilities, those things that we normally pay on time, we can have those added to our credit report. And that shows a positive payment history.
Right.
And so,
you become your own creditor, so to speak.
Exactly. So you can say, okay, I'm paying this on time. So let's report that.
Right. No, I like it. I like it.
So that is a good thing. So paying bills on time helps increase your credit score. Reducing your credit card balances. If you have multiple credit cards and they're maxed out, that looks bad on our credit report. You know, credit score companies, they take a look at, you know, your credit line and how close you are to the maximum of that credit card, that credit line. So if you've got a $1,000 credit card and you're at $900, well, that looks worse than if you had a $1,000 credit card and a $500 limit or $200 limit. So if you look at your credit, the amount of credit that you have, you know, decreasing those amounts relative to their maximums, and typically they want it to be below 30%. So $1,000 credit limit, you want to be below, you know, $300. And if you can get it below 10%, well, that's even better.
So they want you to have credit. They want to see that you're credit worthy, but they don't want you to use it.
Right.
they want to see that you're not stretched out. And I guess right. that makes sense from the standpoint.
No, I think that if they see that you're maxed out, well, it's easy right. to just take that extra step and not pay it back, because now it shows a potential issue.
I got you.
Yeah, so if you're using it and it's all maxed out, you have no headroom, well, they say, okay, well, this is not looking good. So if reducing your credit card balances is one way of improving your credit score. Or avoiding opening multiple accounts. If they see that in a short period of time, you are getting more and more credit cards or opening more and more accounts, well, that, you know, reflects negatively on your credit score. And so if you're getting credit card after credit card because there's some sort of a great deal that you found, well, that's going to, you know, impact your credit score negatively, because you've got access to a lot more, you know, financing in a short period of time. And that doesn't look good on your credit score.
Interesting. So
those are three more things that you can do to improve the score.
No, that's great. So the ultimate opening multiple accounts, because, you know, you're trying to show I can get credit, but they keep seeing these, you're opening more and more accounts. I guess they look at that as an increased risk overall, right?
The more, right.
And especially close together, I guess.
Right. Exactly. In a short period of time, because that can say, oh, maybe something's happening and we need to get out of the country.
Oh, that's heavy right there. That's heavy. All right. Thanks, Dave. And then so those are a lot of good ways to start working on, you know, making sure your credit score stays high, or if it's already low, how you can improve. Now, we do improve them. Now we do recognize that sometimes people are in trouble. One of the things Dave and I discussed in researching this is that if I'm already tight on my budget, how can I start paying down balances and things like that? There are some more extreme tactics that you can take around getting your score to improve that involves improving your credit report. And one of them is to negotiate with creditors. Now, this is an interesting one, because we found that not a lot of people are aware that they can actually call a creditor and talk about how can I get this, you know, how can we deal our way into getting this paid? One method is called pay for delete. Now, what this is you call a creditor and say, hey, look, I can't pay this whole bill, but I am willing to pay a good deal of it or some of it, but I need this removed from my credit report. Now, where this can get sticky is that, well, first of all, it can be attractive to the creditor, because if you don't pay the bill, what they usually end up doing is selling your debt to a credit collector for pennies on the dollar.
So they're willing to work with you?
They are willing to work with you, because their alternative is going to be less lucrative for them. Their alternative is to sell your debt, sell the debt to a company whose whole job is to collect debts. But it's pennies on the dollar. So for example, just using like your example, $1,000, I have a $900 on a $1,000 credit card and I'm late. I'm 3 months late at this point. Credit card company is called. I haven't paid them. They give up. At some point, it's not worth it for them to keep chasing you. They'd rather have something in the bank. So they will sell that $900 debt to a credit collection agency for $200. So for the credit card company, it's a double whammy for in that one, they get some money, and two, they get to write off the loss. So they've lost $700 in this scenario, right? You owed them $900. They got $200 cash, so to speak, from this collection agency. Right. And now the collection agency chases you, and they are much more aggressive because they're not trying to run a bank. They're not trying to, you know, do home loans. They're not trying to do all the other things that the bank was trying to do with all its other customers. Their whole job is to get money from you. So they will chase you down trying to collect this $900. They are going to come for all of the money as much as, and they will call you at night. They do all kinds of things that the bank just does not have the resources or desire to do. As an alternative, if you call the creditor directly and say, hey, look, I can't pay $900, but I can pay $500. Now they are getting $300 more than they get from the credit collection agency. So they may be willing to deal with you. But what you're trying to do is improve your credit score. It's already showing up as late payments on your credit report. You can request that they remove that. Now, why this is not that common is that technically it's not quite above board. And what I mean by that, it's not illegal. There's no laws of calling out that you can't do pay for delete. However, creditors are required by law to accurately report credit performance of their consumers. And the agencies, the agencies we mentioned earlier, the reporting agencies say that once a payment is over 30 days late, you can't remove it. However, they depend on the credit agencies, the credit card companies, to report. They don't go out and take this information from the banks and the lenders. The lenders have to report it to them. And a lender can decide not to report the negative performance to the credit agencies. And in like the scenario I mentioned earlier, if they get called and say, can you prove that this is or isn't on there? They can decide not to answer. And in those cases, these negative credit hits on your credit report technically fall off. Now, again, this is on a slippery slope because someone could call out and say, hey, they were supposed to report this. However, this is a deal between you and the creditor. And depending on how dire your situation is, it may be something to consider. Again, nothing called out specifically that makes it illegal, but obviously this is a more aggressive version of trying to get your credit report in order. Does that make sense, Dave? Any questions on it?
Yeah. So when the creditor calls, it's best to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And talk to
them. That's a great point. Yeah,
because
that's a great point.
If you don't answer the phone, they're avoiding you, and then there's nowhere for them to go until they got to report it. You know, that's one of their tools. Or, you know, follow the path of getting rid of it, and then somebody else is going to call.
I think people might be surprised at how willing, and I know it can be, it's embarrassing, right? You're behind and you don't want to talk about it, and it's tough to talk, but not avoiding it is not going to make it better.
Right.
Avoiding the situation, having them send you to a collection agent, because collection agencies, they have zero interest in getting you, and they don't, you know, once you're debt is reported to a collection agency, getting that off your credit report mm-hmm. is a totally different animal. That the credit card agency is out of the picture at this point. Back in my bad credit days, Dave, I can remember calling a credit card company after they had reported my late debt to a credit agency or to a credit collection agency. They're saying, there's nothing we can do. We don't own that debt anymore.
Right.
It's not even in our name. We have no power over that. And so it's important that if you have the opportunity to work directly with your creditor, you do so. And then another relatively aggressive, but certainly above board method of trying to get your credit score higher is to become an authorized user on someone who you trust and who trusts you to become an authorized user on one of their better accounts. Now, this is something that people do anyway, as like, you know, couples, a married couple or whatever, where one person has a credit card and the other person, spouse or maybe children, become authorized users on that account. They get their own card and they can use it as they need to. The deal here is that you're trying to improve your credit score. So as Dave mentioned earlier about having available credit, and having that how much you use, the utilization of that credit be low, the idea is that you become an authorized user on someone who has a good credit card, a good credit rating, and you get the benefit of their available credit onto your account. Now, what this does not mean is you have free rein to go spend money. the whole point is to improve your credit score. And what you're trying to do is leverage the utilization part. So you get onto someone's credit card that has a lower zero balance, and you become an authorized user. Just by the way that the credit card agencies work and the credit reporting agencies work, you now have access to that credit. So it becomes part of your available credit, and your utilization number goes down. Because we're going to make the huge assumption you're not adding more debt to your existing accounts. This will increase your available credit, which thereby lowers your credit utilization, which then helps increase your score. That makes sense, Dave? I know it can sound kind of complicated.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, you have to find someone who has a good credit score and has accounts available, and they're willing to put you on those accounts.
That's a big one.
They're trusting you.
Because you can hurt them. You don't want to hurt, right? You don't want to hurt. Right. Someone, because this is probably going to be a family member or a very good friend.
That's right. Right.
And again, you're not asking them to be a cosigner on anything. You're asking them to put you on as an authorized user. And I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what I would recommend if you go this route and they send you your own credit card, you send that credit card right to your friend. So you don't even have the opportunity to use it. You don't want to use it. All you want is that headroom in your credit account. Yep.
Yeah. So
what else? What else can we do, Dave?
Along the same lines of, you know, having accounts is if you do have multiple credit cards, card accounts or multiple accounts, and you're paying them on time, and you get to a point where you can actually pay one of them off, do not close the account. So keep those old accounts open because they show a long, lengthy credit history, you know, for you. And having a credit history makes up about 15% of your credit score.
Wow.
And so if you keep those cards open, but don't use them, just don't close them. Because that will hurt your credit score, because it shows your credit history, you know, is shortened now. You know, when you graduate from college, you really don't have a bad, you know, credit score because you really haven't paid, you know, you haven't, you know, run up debt if for some people. But you have no credit history. You have no history of showing, you know, payments on time or any payments. And so that doesn't look good. So if you keep accounts open, especially these credit card accounts, then that will improve your credit card score. You know, I always thought that, you know, there are these programs where you can open, get a credit card, and if you spend a certain amount of money, then you get points. And, you know, like for airlines. So, like, I know a friend of mine, they actually find these deals with these credit card companies, and they open the credit card, they get the mileage points, and then they just bin the credit card, which means they just throw it in a drawer, but they don't close it. They don't close it, but and they just use that money every 3 years for a family vacation. But, you know, if you close those accounts, it doesn't look good on your credit score.
Because you damage your history. And I would think it also messes with your available credit, right? I mean, you've got that. We talked earlier about credit utilization. If you've got an empty credit card, that's available credit that you're not using.
That's right. And if you close it now, that's no available credit that you have.
Yeah.
And so your ratio now gets affected. So it's good to keep those credit cards, but you know, you want to make sure we develop the discipline and not to continue to use them.
I mean, a lot of these solutions require that you have to, you know, employ patience and discipline.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we go through these 10 things here, you know, as we're going to, and it's not a very simple thing to do. I mean, discipline and self-control, it's hard. It's hard, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. The alternative is not healthy at all.
Yeah. So one of the last things we wanted to cover is add positive credit history. Like I mentioned earlier, you can actually report rent payments, utility payments, have those placed on your credit card, you know, your FICO score, your credit card or credit score. And so those are the things that, you know, show a positive history, because most of the time we are paying our rent on time. We are paying our car notes. Those are the things that we, you know, we need. So we pay those on time. Well, that's, you know, showing a positive payment history. And so you can add those things. And I didn't really know that you could do that too. But if it shows a positive payment history. And so these are go ahead, Ken. What are you going to say?
No, I was going to say, this also sounds like I've seen some of these credit card companies also that offer like a debit card, or I've seen these commercials that say, hey, build your credit history. We'll send you a card. And they're using your checking account as your available credit. But the idea is that you have a card with the Visa or MasterCard logo on it or whatever, and you can use it as a credit card in some cases. And this helps to build a history as well and helps to add to your positive credit history. I think it's just one.
Oh, yeah. I think I had a friend that actually did something similar to that. He got a card where he had to actually put money on the card. And he was actually using his own money, but it showed a payment history.
Yes. So, wow. All right.
Yeah. So these
that's good.
10
go ahead,
things then. That we kind of run, and we just really touch the surface on these 10 items. Let me just run through them. So one, get a copy of your credit report from one of the agencies, Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion. Check for errors. Dispute any inaccuracies that you see on your report. Mm-hmm. Begin to pay bills on time, because that's 35% of your score.
Yeah.
Reduce credit card balances according to their maximums. Avoid opening new accounts in a short period of time. Negotiate with creditors. Become an authorized user. Huh? And keeping old accounts open. So those are, and add positive credit histories like your rent and your utilities. So those are some of the top 10, some 10 things that we believe are the most impactful. And so since we've only touched the surface, our next episode, we're going to go through the top 3 things in detail that we believe are the most impactful for increasing your credit score.
Yeah, so, that sounds like a plan.
So we're going to go into just more detail, because we kind of just scratched the surface.
Yeah, we're getting close to time here. Don't want to keep you guys too long, but Dave, that's perfect. Let's dig into three high impact ways of improving your credit score next time. That sounds like a perfect plan.
Great. All right, Ken.
In the meantime, yeah, appreciate it. In the meantime, we're going to close out here. Thank you for your attention as usual. Always glad to have you on. And if you get a chance, please check out our website. Again, that's www.keepitpodcast.com, www.keepitpodcast.com, all one word. And there you can find all kinds of resources. And we're going to add links to a lot of the things we talked about today and what we'll talk about in our next episode. So with that, Dave, I think we're good.
All right, kid. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care, everybody.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Please be sure to visit our website at www.keepitpodcast.com. That's www.keepitpodcast.com. There you'll find links to websites and blogs related to building wealth and other useful information. You can also leave comments about our show and listen to or download all our shows after they air. Also, as a reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as financial advice, as we do not know your specific circumstances and are not your fiduciaries. Please consult with your personal financial advisor before making any investments or financial decisions. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. In the meantime, remember, it's not what you make, it's what you keep.